This is Morning Air.
This is about educating a people that for 40 years haven't been given the full truth. It's time now to speak the truth.
When you do things to the best of your ability, keeping Jesus number one and doing everything you possibly can for His glory, that's a winner.
You are called to make the light of Christ shine brightly in the world.
Bringing the light of Christ to start your day.
This is Morning Air with John Morales on Relevant Radio.
It's Tuesday, March 1st, 2022. Good morning and welcome to another edition of Morning Air. I'm John Morales along with Glenn Leverins. Thanks so much for joining us this morning as we begin the month of March here on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. The Russian invasion of Ukraine began its sixth day as Russia pummels Ukraine's number two city and a 40-mile convoy nears Kyiv. I want to bring in our news anchor, Glenn Leverins. Glenn, what is the latest? What's going on this morning?
Well, John, on the military side, again, the pounding of that second largest city, Kharkiv, is going on, and that includes military and civilian sites as well. Meanwhile, that 40-mile-long convoy said to be working to surround the capital of Kyiv as well. That's on the military side. There were some talks yesterday that didn't seem to get anywhere between Ukrainian folks and Russian folks just across the border in Belarus. Europe is really rallying behind this cause, though. We're seeing Germany stepping up and sending a lot of anti-tank missiles. We're seeing formerly neutral Switzerland, neutral even during World War II, slapping some banking sanctions on Russia as well. And then, of course, on the humanitarian side, so many refugees, over 500,000 folks said to have fled the country at this point. And if you've seen any coverage at all on TV, you've seen the stories of families making it to the border, the dads kissing the wife and kids goodbye as they head to safety, the dads going back as required by law, anyone in Ukraine, any male between 18 and 60, required to take up arms, and so many, many sad separations at the border, and our prayers and all kinds of help needed in this situation, John.
Absolutely. We need to continue to pray for an end to this conflict. As you mentioned, it really is a humanitarian crisis. So many people, tens of thousands, trying to leave the country, trying to head, many of them, for Poland. Like you mentioned, 500,000 plus refugees have already left, and that number is expected to grow into the millions. So it is a humanitarian crisis of unbelievable proportions. One of the things that's really concerning, Glenn, is the reports of civilians being targeted, being killed, civilian neighborhoods, homes, bombs going off where civilians. This doesn't sound like it should be.
No reports of cluster bombs, which are illegal to use in terms of war crimes on civilian populations. Strong evidence of that on film as well as on the ground in Kharkiv from yesterday as well. And so, you know, however this ends, there'll be definite pushes for war crimes charged against Russian leadership.
Glenn, tonight, of course, President Biden has his State of the Union address. This is going to be a very, very difficult address for him. What do you think will be the tone of his message? What should he be saying to our nation during this very difficult time?
Well, he'll be in a bit of a tough spot. The latest ABC News poll even shows approval at a low of 37% now, 55%. Thinking that the country's not headed in a great direction under Biden right now. Some debate over how political things ought to get during a time of war, but he has his work cut out for him. Sources say he'll spend a little more time on the economy, but I think the war is on a lot of people's minds. And, you know, we've seen a lot of leadership, especially when you've got President Zelensky out there in the middle of his country being bombed and, you know, squads out to try and assassinate him, and yet he's out there leading from the front, showing great leadership there, and you know, Europe as well, with some leaders speaking out more than Biden has. So it'll be interesting to see.
On a lighter note, it looks like Major League Baseball is waiting one more day before they postpone the beginning of the regular season.
Well, I tell you, I saw some town team baseball friends over the weekend, and they're ready to go with some community baseball, no matter what the major leaguers do. But I would like to see the big boys back in action.
Absolutely. And we know that college baseball, at least, is underway. So, again, thanks so much for your updates as we continue to keep an eye on this very difficult situation now in day six of the Russian invasion of Ukraine. Thanks, Glenn.
Sure thing, John.
We begin every hour in prayer, giving thanks to our Lord for the many blessings through the intercession of the Mother of God, our Blessed Mother Mary. And of course, we continue to pray for peace in Ukraine with Russia. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Our Lady of Guadalupe, patroness of the Americas, patroness of the unborn and of Relevant Radio, pray for us. Saint Joseph, patron of the Universal Church, pray for us. Saint John Paul II, co-patron of Relevant Radio, pray for us. And we invoke the Holy Spirit every morning when we pray, come, Holy Spirit, come. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. On Tuesdays, I always remind you that we should pray to our guardian angel in our everyday lives. As your guardian angel is there to help you, ask your guardian angel for assistance today in whatever it is that you need. Our power scripture from the Playbook of Life is from Romans 8:28. The Apostle St. Paul writes, "We know that in everything God works for good with those who love him, who are called according to his purpose." The Apostle St. Paul reminds us that all things happen for the good of those who love God. During these difficult times for our nation and for the world, we have to have a spiritual perspective. Nothing, absolutely nothing happens in this world without the will of God. The Lord is the Lord of the universe. Nothing happens without his direct will or his permitting will. This is divine providence. We have to have faith that our Lord Jesus Christ does not abandon us and is always with us. Go to Mary, the Queen of Peace, who leads us to her Son, Jesus, the Prince of Peace. We pray with great confidence, Jesus, I trust in you. Now, can you believe that Lent begins tomorrow with Ash Wednesday? The question is, are you ready? Here at Relevant Radio, you can take your Lent experience to the next level with Father Rocky's Lenten Lessons on the Mass, which are free to you every day. This super-duper premium edition video series goes behind the scenes of the Mass from the moment you enter a chapel to the final blessing. Sign up for Father Rocky's new Lenten Lessons on the Mass. You can do it this morning at relevantradio.com/Lent and get ready to learn the Mass, live the Mass, and love the Mass more than ever before. It's not too late to sign up. That's relevantradio.com/Lent. Our number, if you want to be part of the program, 888-914-9149, 888-914-9149. And now it's time for another Tech Tuesday. Google said it would bring its privacy sandbox initiative to Android phones, vowing to chart a less blunt path than rival Apple, whose push to protect users' personal information has dinged the digital advertising market. Joining us now for much more is our tech expert and longtime Morning Air contributor, Mark Mastriani, to bring us up to date on what Google is doing and what it means for us. Mark is a passionate Catholic dad, husband with 20 plus years of technology, new product development experience for all things faith and tech. You can follow Mark on Twitter at God Loves Tech. Good morning, Mark. Thanks so much for being with us this morning on another Tech Tuesday. Great to be with you as always.
Great to be with you, John and Glenn.
Mark, first of all, explain to us what exactly is Google's privacy sandbox and what are they trying to accomplish?
Yes. So let's take a step back and start with the Apple initiative. This is something that does touch all of our lives in direct and indirect ways. And then we can get into the Google change because it's pretty much in response to that Apple change. What does Apple want to do? They want to be your digital friend. They want your information to belong to you, that your digital DNA, your data, does not go to advertisers, does not go to Facebook, does not go to other marketing engines on the internet. well, that sounds really great. And it is at its core. We want to be keep our information private. Our data, the address of the device that we're using is called our Internet Protocol address, IP address. And that can be traced back to our location and can be cross-referenced with public information between our IP address and our physical address to locate us as a person. Well, in this digital age, over the last 12 years, companies have gotten more and more savvy about serving advertisements to us that may be of interest to us. Have you ever found yourself doing a search on pots and pans, and then all of a sudden, every time you're searching on the internet, you're served an ad or sent an email about pots and pans?
Absolutely. Absolutely, Mark. In fact, I was shopping for a new baseball mitt, a third baseman's glove for my son. And before you know it, I had ads for baseball mitts, catcher's mitts, first baseman's mitts. They were coming out of my ears everywhere I went.
You just described the phenomena of getting yourself identified for your tendencies and for your preferences. So in a way, what started out as good has proliferated and amplified in negative ways. So Apple, in response to some of the negative amplification, is not allowing the IP address, the Internet Protocol address of an Apple device, to be shared with advertisers. Okay, so that's good, and there's a ripple effect to that. Let's talk about our parishes and our apostolates. Our parishes do want to know about how we find their websites, what we click on, and there are good people who have used the way that data is structured to optimize our parish and apostolate websites. All of that is changing right now. The beginning of 2022 will be looked in the digital realm as a significant earthquake when it comes to the way our websites are structured. Every website is essentially going to break the search engine optimization. Where a website is discovered in a search engine is likely to change. So we have to be aware of that if we're a part of any organization, any business, any private endeavor, any apostolates or any parishes. So what is this Google Ad-Free Sandbox for Android? Very similar to what Apple Initiative has been. There was a backlash by the data privacy community on Google saying, look what Apple is doing. They're protecting our data. Why aren't you? Well, Google's, let's just take a step back again and look at what Google's business is. It is search. Okay, let's not sugarcoat it, right? Let's be direct and honest with ourselves and with each other. Their entire multi-billion-dollar, nearly over $1 trillion in market capitalization as a business is fundamentally predicated on their ability to serve you information based on what you search on Android devices and on browsers. So, ad-free sandbox on Android is a big deal. It does say that they understand and appreciate what's going on in the world, led by the data privacy initiatives around the country. But they also have to walk a very, very thin line, very high tightrope, so that they do not damage their core business of search. So everyone is going to watch this very closely to make sure that they can walk this tightrope without damaging their core business.
And Mark, that is unrelated to another concern that I have. You know, anytime I go on Google and I'm trying to look for a pro-life story or a story that might, you know, be conservative or traditional Christian values, it's so difficult to find the information on Google. You have to sometimes go pages and pages into it, and you'll find something that's buried way down. It's maddening at times.
Yes, there are algorithms inside of these search engines, and there are algorithms inside of social media businesses that have a particular bias. Again, let's just be honest with each other. I want you to tell me the truth, so I'm going to tell you the truth. There are biases. Even when you're signing up for a brand new Twitter account, there's not one social media platform that doesn't have some kind of flaw or bias to it. So I just encourage everyone, don't be discouraged by what you see. What is interesting about Google specifically and other search engines that are not Google, such as, you know, DuckDuckGo and some others that are available out there that don't have as much tracking to your IP address, they do take the information in the search and the results and what you click on after your results have been provided to you, and they're constantly learning and improving. So we have the power to make a change and bring those search results back up to the top. And we also, I've given this kind of shot in the arm to us fellow Catholic techies, we can create better products and better services that cater to the magisterium, the teaching office of our beautiful Catholic faith.
Sounds good. Mark, let's switch gears here. I want to talk a little bit about privacy and safety in terms of, you know, with the war going on in Ukraine, there's a lot of people who are concerned of possible cyber attacks by Russia. Can you give us any practical advice? Is there anything that we can do in the midst of these possible cyber attacks?
Yeah, I'll be specific, practical, and to the point here, John. Thanks for that great question. Yes, you're going to want to do the same things you should be doing all the time, but now is a great time to kind of do a spring cleaning of your digital life. If you have location-based services on your devices, turn them off. There's a great reason for social media and tracking to turn off your location on your devices, but it also saves battery. The second thing about your privacy on social media is do as little ad. So when it comes to cyber attacks, there are things that look like a real ad that are not. Both on your email, on your phone, do not click on anything that isn't from someone you know. And here's an even sneakier thing to be aware of. Don't click on any links, even if it's from someone you know, just for a little period of time. Here's the reason. There's a new kind of cyber attack called, there's a group based in Russia called Ghost Rider. This group has an attack where they send an email to somebody. If the person clicks on a link in that email, Ghost Rider can take over that person's email account, their entire email account,
wow,
and then can start sending email messages from that person's email account as if they are them. So let's say Ghost Rider attacks me, John, and you're in my email contacts list. You might see an email from Mark saying, John, hi, how are you doing? I wanted you to see this link. It looks innocent. It actually looks like something you might want to click on. For a while now, don't click on anything.
This is so alarming. My goodness. I mean, how do you know who's friend or foe? How do you know if something is real or fake? This is unbelievable.
Yeah, just give everything an extra prudence is our shield here during these next few days and weeks. Imagine that you just need to put everything on pause, especially when it comes to a link within an email or a message. Just don't click on links for a little while, just to be safe.
And this doesn't apply to a normal email that doesn't have a link?
Correct. If it's a static message with an image inside of it, those emails are fine. Even if it's an email that you've let sit for a day and the person has said that, you know, it's really me, don't worry. These cyber attacks are typically going after people who work in the financial services industry, potentially, but not likely, people who work in the health industry. But those are the people who might be most likely targeted are financial industry folks and defense industry folks. So start with prudence. Be careful before you touch on any links.
Great advice. I really appreciate that. Mark, here in the final moments, just a quick thought on former President Donald Trump's very own social media platform that went live recently in the Apple App Store on President's Day. It's called Truth Social. What do we need to know about Truth Social?
Truth Social is exciting and interesting in many different ways. It's so new. Social media has a greater impact and power if all of your friends and family are all on there together. Truth Social has a very specific focus to it. It's those folks who feel like they've been left out or alienated from the main platforms. That's a good thing to have a choice. But the thing to be aware of is there just aren't so many people on it yet. So if you are trying to share your information or trying to get information to a large blast, a message to a large group of people, it's just not going to get as many eyeballs as something that's on one of the larger social media platforms. So it might be a both and approach. You may need to consider Twitter and Truth Social. There's been several other conservative and pro-life oriented social media initiatives over time that have just not gotten nearly the traction that the main platforms have gotten. I'm an advocate for new platforms and making the main the major platforms aware that there is a large and loud voice in the pro-life and Catholic movements.
Do you think that it'll catch on eventually, even though it's obviously off to a slow start?
It's very likely, depending on the kind of awareness and momentum. If all my friends and family, John, if you're on Truth Social, if I'm on Truth Social, if Glenn's on Truth Social, I'm going to start following Truth Social.
Got it. Well, as always, Mark, I appreciate your perspective and obviously your expertise in all things tech. There's so much going on, and it's super important that we be plugged in and be aware of what is happening and what we can do to protect ourselves in the wild, wild world of media. Thanks so much, Mark.
God bless you. Thank you so much. Have a great day.
Mark Mastriani, our tech expert for all things faith and tech. You can follow Mark on Twitter at God Loves Tech. We need to take a short break when Morning Air continues. Bishop Richard Sticca, the Bishop of Knoxville, Tennessee, will join us with a perspective on the war in Ukraine and the impact on what is happening. Stay with us. There's much more to come as Morning Air continues after this.
Get connected to the conversation. Call us now, 888-914-9149. That's 888-914-9149. You're listening to Morning Air with John Morales on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
And welcome back to Morning Air. I'm John Morales. It's great to be with you once again. Thanks so much for joining us this morning on this first day of the month of March. Our number, if you want to be part of the conversation, 888-914-9149. Now, Pope Francis appealed on Sunday during his Angelus for an end to the Ukraine conflict. The Holy Father has also called tomorrow, Ash Wednesday, a day of prayer and fasting for peace in Ukraine. Tomorrow is also the beginning of Lent. And so how should we approach the Lenten obligations of prayer, fasting, and almsgiving? Joining us now for much more perspective is His Excellency Bishop Richard Sticca, the Bishop of the Diocese of Knoxville, Tennessee. Bishop Sticca was appointed the third bishop of Knoxville by Pope Benedict XVI in 2009. He's also a member of the Knights of Columbus and the Order of the Holy Sepulchre. Your Excellency, Bishop Sticca, welcome back to Morning Air. Thank you for joining us this morning.
Good morning. Good morning. Happy March.
Happy March to you. Unfortunately, our hearts, many of our hearts are sad with what's happening in Europe, what's happening in Ukraine. I wanted to get your thoughts on the Holy Father asking for a day of prayer and fasting for peace in Ukraine tomorrow on Ash Wednesday. This is something that the entire world can get behind.
Oh, yes. I mean, it's just horrific what you see the images coming out of Ukraine here, a country that was at peace. And all of a sudden, it's like a revisit of World War II. You see all this destruction. Pope Francis, you know, he understands what's going on. And he just wants to remind the world, and the world is responding, you know, in terms of prayer and support for Ukraine. But, you know, it's always good to have a purpose in our prayer. And it's always directed towards God. And he's just inviting us, especially on Ash Wednesday, as we begin the season of Lent, to really hold up the people of Ukraine, of all the different faith traditions, and just say, you know, to pray for them and to pray for peace and to pray for peacemakers and somehow to move President Putin to just stop this horrific destruction of another country.
Absolutely. I was really impressed and moved by the courage of the Holy Father last Friday, I believe it was, when he actually went to the Russian embassy personally, something that it's outside of the normal protocol for a pontiff, and went there to speak to the Russian folks that work at the embassy about what's happening and trying to be a mediator of some type of peace.
Yeah, I mean, he not only you know, petitioned the world to pray, but he himself, like you said, broke protocol, and as the head of the Catholic Church, went to see the embassy, I guess the ambassador, and to make his point. And I think what he's doing is demonstrating that we have to do things maybe in an unusual way, aiming for a productive result. And, you know, the prayer combined with whatever else we can do is so very important. People have been asking me what they can do for the people of Ukraine. And I said, well, Catholic Relief Service is going to be involved, I'm sure. And you know, hopefully this destruction will end, but now you're going to have to rebuild another country. You know, all those lives that are lost, or lives that are being moved, you know, the refugees who are going to Poland and other countries. It's just horrific, and that's why it's so important to go beyond what's expected, and that's what the Pope did.
Organizations like Catholic Relief Services and the Aid to the Church in Need is reportedly donating $1 million to help the people in Ukraine. In fact, we spoke about this just yesterday here on the show. $1 million from Aid to the Church in Need for much needed help for those suffering people. It really has become a humanitarian catastrophe, what's happening with 500,000 people leaving the country, many of them heading to Poland.
Yes, and even in my own background, my mother's side of the family, my grandmother was born in Poland, and, you know, so I have a great affection for Eastern Europe, and I'm also just going back on the Committee for Eastern Europe Rebuilding the Church. I was on for six years, and I'm going back on the committee. So I'm sure at some point we'll be involved in that as well.
Excellency, there's reportedly over 6,000 priests and brothers and religious nuns, Catholic priests in Poland who are going through just horrific times right now. Just unbelievable. And many of them are actually staying on to be able to minister to the people.
Yeah, I just saw in the news there was a Orthodox priest who was a chaplain who was shot and killed, or it was in a bombing, I think, from a missile or something, who was killed. Yeah, the churches out there, you know, the Ukraine people, they're very prayerful. And it's a stunning thing, but it's also a witness. It's like in World War II, all the priests and religious across the board who didn't go one way. It's like the firefighters in New York, 9/11. You know, going into the battle, where the religious are there in the battle, and their weapon is prayer, and just witness the whole courage of martyrdom. And so we have to hold up all the faith leaders in Ukraine, because, you know, there's such a strong support for the people. And I'm really impressed with the president of Ukraine, who is Jewish. And you know, his statement too, he's not leaving the country. It's just stunning.
Yeah, his bravery has touched many, many hearts. It's been absolutely amazing. Also, the resiliency and the faith in the Mother of God of the Ukrainian people has been inspiring. With so many Catholics in Ukraine, and they're trying to defend their nation. How impressed have you been by the response of the Ukrainian people with this never say die attitude, this love for their nation, and their faith that God is with them?
Yes, I think, like in many countries in Eastern Europe, it's hard to separate faith from a sense of good nationalism. And, you know, it's like Our Lady of Częstochowa in Poland and now in Ukraine. You see these images of military, of soldiers and people just praying before icons, whether it's down in the subway system or it's on the battlefield. And it's just amazing.
Excellent. I started to say, what's been the response in your own diocese of the people uniting themselves in prayer for the people of Ukraine?
Oh, you know, I've invited together with the Holy Father tomorrow, and prayers are being offered. We have a small Ukraine community here in the diocese, and we'll be having lunch with their pastor. And, you know, I'm just going to see what we can do. This has been a very generous diocese to different causes, like the tornado in Kentucky and what happened in Haiti recently with the earthquake. And so maybe we'll see what we can do, see what the conference is asking the dioceses to do. So, yeah, but the people are really moved and somewhat frightened, I think, when you hear about threats of nuclear weapons. I mean, who would have imagined just 3 months ago? So everybody, there's a lot of caution. We watch on the news reports and we pray. We pray, the most powerful tool there is. Maybe we pray again for the conversion of Russia. You know, it worked one time. Maybe it'll work again.
Absolutely. Not only the conversion of Russia, but the conversion of Vladimir Putin, that his heart softens, kind of like, you know, Pharaoh in the Old Testament. His heart was so hard. It's just hard to imagine that this man is acting in the way that he is, with like no feeling for fellow humanity.
You know, I often think that these leaders who become so horrific, the devil is a part of their life. You know, I often thought that about Stalin and Hitler and others. And, you know, the world right now, it's still reeling from COVID. And now the world is dealing with this. But the world comes together. You know, in COVID, it came together. It still does. And you see country after country condemning what's going on. Even Switzerland, which never has always been neutral, has taken a strong stand. And again, I think it's the power of prayer and the power of humanity, just humanity, you know, when we see these things. But it's also a reminder that there are other battles and wars going on in other parts of the world that are not so public. So that's why it's so powerful to pray for peace throughout the world. And this is just one more public demonstration of the need for prayer.
Absolutely. And we're reminded of that. Our Lady of Fatima, way back in 1917 during the First World War, she said to the children that war is a punishment for sin. How can we keep a spiritual perspective on what's going on and follow her suggestion here during this Lent, the importance of penance and prayer to stop this war?
Well, I think we all always have to look into our own lives, our hearts, to see how well we respond to the world around us and how what our relationship with God is. You know, each individual person faces that temptation of sin, just like Putin right now, this sinful attitude. So if we each pray for our own conversion of heart and the great season of Lent, I call it my great retreat, just reminds us it's a if we change, if we evolve in a positive way, if we open our hearts to God, and so does our neighbor, and so does our neighbor, and so does our neighbor, there's that real power, you know, where two or three are gathered, there I am. And so we might not be in Ukraine, but we're united to the people of Ukraine.
Absolutely. In fact, I'd like to talk about Lent, but first we need to take a short break as Lent begins just tomorrow. As we continue our conversation with His Excellency Bishop Richard Sticca, the Bishop of Knoxville, Tennessee. Stay with us. We'll be back with more after this.
Get connected to the conversation. Call us now at 888-914-9149.
That's 888-914-9149. You're listening to Morning Air with John Morales on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
And welcome back to Morning Air on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. I'm John Morales. Thanks for joining us this morning as we continue our conversation with His Excellency Bishop Richard Sticca, the Bishop of Knoxville, Tennessee. And we're going to switch gears and talk about Lent, which amazingly begins tomorrow with Ash Wednesday. Excellency, welcome back.
Thanks. I'm here.
It's hard to believe, but Lent is beginning tomorrow, and this is really a great opportunity for us to grow in our faith, to grow closer to our Lord and our Lady. Can you first of all explain to us what exactly is the Catholic understanding of Lent?
Well, Lent, my interpretation is like the Great Retreat. It's a time when we look at our lives and to see how well we're connected to God. And you know, if we look at the history of the Old Testament, we see many moments in which people were called to conversion and you know, the sackcloth and even kings and rulers. And for us, I always like to use the idea that it's not so much giving up, it's giving to God. You know, and it should be taken seriously. It's, you know, I know some people, hey, I'm going to give up chocolate for Lent, or I'm not going to drink coffee or whatever. But I think it's deeper. You know, there's the three time-honored traditions of Lent, alms and fasting and that. And those are all very good, but it should be also deeper into our own spiritual life. And you know, with the mark on our foreheads tomorrow or the crown of our head with the ashes, remembering that we're called to ongoing conversion. And, you know, Lent, it's a beautiful time in this part of the world because at the end of Lent, then we have spring and we have the great celebration of the Easter season. And then we also welcome new people into the church, which the rite of election will be this weekend coming up. Here in the diocese, I have one on Saturday and Sunday at the cathedral. But it's a real serious time to take a look at one's life and to see how we respond when the Lord says, come and follow, you know, and just a beautiful time.
And Excellency, it all begins tomorrow with Ash Wednesday, which surprisingly a lot of people show up at church on Ash Wednesday to get their ashes. And can you talk a little bit about why we should be, you know, proud to be able to boldly proclaim our faith and walk around and, you know, don't rub it off. Let people see that little ash on your forehead.
Yeah, you know, so many people have the tradition of wearing a cross around their neck, a crucifix, but a lot of times it's hidden under clothing and stuff. This is one of those moments when we publicly proclaim who we are as Christians, and I think it's just so important. Yeah, I remember a few years ago, someone on TV had the mark on their forehead, and other people on the news broadcast were making fun of that person for having a smudge. And it provided an opportunity for that person to remind the others about Ash Wednesday. And, it's just a outward sign of what's inside our heart. And I think most Catholics, it seems, think that Ash Wednesday is a holy day of obligation because they really come. And, you know, it's not obligatory. It's a free choice. And so there'll be all these Catholics, Christians marked for the next day or so.
I'm so glad that you mentioned that about some national TV news anchor personalities. I remember seeing Brett Baer and Martha McCallum with ashes on their forehead in the past on Fox News. And I remember thinking, my goodness, they're not ashamed of their Catholic faith. And one thing is to walk around like that. Another thing is to go on national TV and for the world to see.
It'd be interesting to see if the president leaves his mark on if he goes. Yeah, it's an outward sign, and as a person who distributes the ashes on the forehead, it takes about a week to get all the ash out of your thumb. but I just love doing the mark on the forehead and just to see the look of people's faces. There's a desire you see so often, or a sense of serenity or peace, or, you know, just something different that you witness in the face of the person. And I think, again, in this day and age, especially with Ukraine and COVID and all the anger that's in the world and in our country and even in our church, maybe it's this moment is calling all of us to conversion again, ongoing conversion. It's just a reminder. So, yeah, proudly wear the proudly in a Christian sense wear the ash on one's forehead.
I love your image of Lent being a great retreat, Excellency. Really is an opportunity for conversion. Can you talk briefly about the three things that we as everyday Catholics should be doing here during this Lenten season of praying, fasting, and almsgiving?
Yeah, well, I always believe, they're time-honored tradition, and we should always be a person of prayer. And maybe in this particular Lent, our intention is a little bit different, like the Holy Father is calling us to tomorrow. The whole idea of almsgiving, to give of not necessarily to give of excess, but to give where it hurts, almost like the widow in the Gospels with her coins. And fasting, again, it's a physical reminder a kind of a cleansing. And the idea that we don't have to feel always full, to be empty in that physical way means that we're also have a desire to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And, I remind people on Fridays, if we fast from meat, which I think is kind of minor in our society, because it doesn't mean we have to eat lobster. So it's
exactly.
The mentality. Yeah, it's the mentality of how we approach this. And, I'm always glad to hear so many Catholics still practice of eating, avoiding meat on Fridays throughout the year. And of course, then you have the beautiful fish fries that our Catholic parishes. So, but those three, and it doesn't have to be just those three. There, we can be creative with other practices. You know, fasting could also be a spiritual thing in terms of, you know, you fast from trying to control your time and maybe volunteer somewhere. You know, almsgiving, you know, the same, time, talent, and treasure. So there's other ways in which we can observe those. But also there's the pure nature of those, you know, to fast, which is healthy too, they say, you know, to share with others and especially to be a person of prayer.
And in terms of prayer, perhaps making a commitment to pray the rosary or part of the rosary every day, praying the chaplet of Divine Mercy in the afternoon. There's many, many different ways that we can communicate with our Lord, to talk to God from the heart.
Yes, you know, Padre Pio always talked about the rosary is the most powerful tool to fight the devil. Yeah, a powerful tool. And, you know, strictly based on scripture, St. Luke and the prayer of Jesus himself, the Our Father, and, you know, with the mysteries, it's just a powerful way to be connected and to know that there's something beyond ourselves, and that's God himself, and it's the way we praise God. And so, yeah, there's the time-honored ways of prayer. Daily Mass should be a habit during Lent, if possible, but then we take it beyond Lent, you know. I think a lot of people, they start these practices during the season of Lent, and then they carry on beyond, you know, because it becomes a part of a good habit. And it's just a powerful thing. Yesterday I had Mass for our cloistered sisters here, the Handmaids of the Precious Blood, whose intent is always to pray for priests. And we were talking about Lent and their own practices during the season. They call it the Great Season of Lent.
Your Excellency, your Episcopal anniversary is coming up on March 19th. Can you talk a little bit about your experience and what you've learned as a bishop over the last 13-plus years serving as the Bishop of Knoxville?
One, I've fallen in love with the people of Knoxville. You know, I've had a little bit of a difficult year, but we all do. And but what I've learned is just to listen more and also to be open to being taught by the people. You know, there's no book on how to be a good bishop. You know, we have things in the scripture, you know, from different things. But the best way to be a good priest and to be a good bishop, and I guess to be a good pope if you're the pope, is to listen to people and to hear what they have to say. And that's a gift. That's been a part of most of my life, but it's more fine-tuned, I guess.
Is there any one memorable moment that stands out in your Episcopal career?
Well, we've had some great moments, recently with Father Ryan. God willing, he'll be a saint someday, just moving him to the Basilica after all these years. We had a huge Eucharistic Congress a few years ago. The closing Mass was over 5,000. But for me, it's the sacrament of confirmation. It's visiting parishes, having Mass, meeting with the people. Those are the things that are so edifying to me, to see the faith of the people, especially the young. We recently had the C conference here in Knoxville. We had over 1,000 college age and older. And it's just a daily contact with people. Yeah, daily contact with people.
Well, Your Excellency, I so much appreciate you being with us, as always. Many blessings to you during this upcoming season of Lent. Thanks so much for being with us this morning.
Okay, God bless. See you next month.
We'll see you next month. His Excellency Bishop Richard Sticca, the third bishop of Knoxville, Tennessee. And now it's time for another episode of Glenn's Story Corner.
Our story today is called Focus. It's from Jen Kish. Today I found myself complaining about the rising cost of fuel. Then I remembered that I've never had to run from missiles. I worried if I needed to stock up on a few staples, then I realized I'd never had to send my children to school with their blood type taped on their backs. I shook my head at the thought of our young men and women headed overseas, and then I remembered that for Ukrainians, war showed up on their doorsteps. Then I decided I won't sit in my house in suburbia and brood over the downward turn of the stock market while people are literally facing death. Instead, I'm going to pray. I know that God will hear from heaven, that he'll lean down to listen when I pray. The Bible tells me that. I'm going to pray that whatever evil intends, that God would turn it around for His glory. I'm going to pray that good would overcome evil, and that it would happen sooner rather than later. I'm going to pray that God would hear the cry of every lost soul facing a war they didn't want and come to their rescue. I'm praying for the overwhelming supernatural presence of God Almighty in every corner of the world tonight. I'm here to ask if you'd pray with me. Let's fill the throne room with our voices as we call out for our brothers and sisters in Ukraine. May God hear our prayers and turn this whole thing around. If He can shut the mouths of hungry lions, split an entire sea in half, and raise the dead, He can surely save Ukraine. Matthew 19:25, but Jesus looked at them and said, "With man this is impossible, but with God all things are possible."
Amen, Glenn. Powerful reminder. Let's continue to pray for peace in Ukraine with Russia. Let's pray the rosary with Father Rocky and the Family Rosary Across America, 7 p.m. Central tonight. And also, you can pray the Chapel of Divine Mercy at 3 p.m. Central this afternoon on the Drew Mariani Show. Coming up next hour here on Morning Air, Catholic evangelist Martha Fernandez-Sardina will be with us to continue her Remember You Are Loved series. Today's episode, Lent is for Lovers. And Relevant Radio CEO Father Rocky will join us to talk about prayers and fasting for peace in Ukraine on Ash Wednesday and how to have a super-duper Lent. So stay with us. We're just warming up here this morning. There's much more to come next hour on Morning Air after this short timeout.